I'd ask that you would pray for me and also for Brother Gale as we try to proclaim the glorious word of the Lord Jesus Christ. You turn on the television set. I don't do a lot of that, but I will be honest. It's on from time to time. And one of the worst things we can watch now, believe it or not, there's a lot of bad things on TV, but I've concluded that one of the most detrimental things to God's children is the news. And, when my grandmother was alive and I was a kid living on a farm up at Olton, she loved the news and the weather. They were farmers. She waited for five. She'd get up in the morning. They had a little morning news. And at 5:30 in the afternoon, the national news come on, followed by the local news, and that's about it. But now the older folks can sit around the TV and watch it 24/7, from sunup to sundown and from sundown to sunup, about all the troubles and all the difficulties that we have in this life. You know, sometimes the more information we have isn't always the better thing. It makes a difficult amount of confusion in our lives. We live in a world that seems to be out of control, but Solomon tells us that in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, there's nothing new under the sun. In the hearts of men and the ideas of men, there's nothing that's any different today than it ever was. And I think about the verse in Romans chapter 13, verse 1, it says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but God. The powers that be are ordained of God." You know, there are a lot of men that think they're powerful. There are a lot of storms out here that we have, hurricanes, tornadoes, earthquakes, a lot of power in those. But do you realize that every power that exists is subject to the power of Almighty God? Our Father, which art in heaven. You know, sometimes we wonder why God hadn't done something about the difficulties that we're going through. You know, I used to read that verse over in 2 Peter when it says that he was not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. You know, Lot perished in a way, did he not? He lost everything he had. Bore two sons by his two daughters. I mean, a wretched end to a man's life. And yet, the Bible declares him to be a child of God without doubt. So we need to understand that just because God doesn't stop something, it means that God has lost control of it. He has all power in all things. God is sovereign. We teach that, we preach that, and without understanding that, it'll make a difference in our lives that we cannot begin to understand. Now, I just want to read a few verses this morning out of Psalms 115. Remember, all powers are subject to the power of God. It began in verse 1, it says, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory. For thy mercy and for thy truth's sake." This verse tells me that there's not a man upon the earth under any circumstances or conditions that should be boasting about the great things that they've done. Nothing. I don't care how well you've been blessed. I don't care what your purpose is in this life. All the glory goes to the Lamb that was slain, to the God of heaven. He goes on and says, "Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God?" You know, there are those in the world who claim they do not believe in God. But I tell you right now, if you read Romans chapter 1, God says that there is something within that person. The invisible things of God are seen by the things that are manifested in our sight that are made, and I'm paraphrasing that, men, all men, are without excuse. You know, when you see the sun come up every morning and go down, you know, the earth rotates, and that's why it works. And we're not spun out into the universe. I mean, all things consist and are held in place by the mighty power of God. So when we think about what the heathen says, it makes no difference to me. We believe in the only true and living God. But he says here in verse 3, "But our God, the God that you and I serve, but our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased." You know, there are some people who believe that God is not capable of accomplishing his purposes. But I'm here to declare unto you that God is perfect. He's perfect in power. He's perfect in holiness. He's perfect in knowledge and in judgment. You know, some people are very confused about salvation. But he is perfect in salvation. You know, the Bible declares that we're not to add anything to God's word or to take anything away from God's word. Why is that? Because God's word is perfect. That means it's complete. It's accomplished. There is nothing that you can do to make it better. And if you take anything away from it, God says, you will be a cursed man. He will curse you. We don't need those things in our lives. We have everything that we need in the very presence of the King James Version of the Bible. Now he goes on and he says, but our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he pleased. Now he begins to talk about idols. These are the little gods, the little g's. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. Now, I don't want you to get confused here for just a moment. I think there is a lot of confusion. Folks will say, well, you know, I don't have a statue on my mantle. I didn't carve out something to worship. But we're going to find out, just as it was with our sins, our thoughts are just as sinful in the presence of God as our deeds. The Bible tells us that when we set our affections on something strongly, oftentimes in great excess, they become a god to us. They become an idol to us. I'm going to give you an example. And I'm not here to step on anybody's foot because I'm guilty of this. But I tell you, in this country, sports is an idol beyond all measure. It's not that sports is bad. It's the fact that it's become the priority in people's lives. God has taken a back door to it. That's what an idol is. It demands your presence. It demands everything that you have in your life. But friends, we've always wanted as men in nature to have a God that we can manipulate, a God that we can form the way we want it. It began in the garden when the serpent beguiled Eve and he told her, and you shall be gods, knowing good and evil. You know, we form a God in our life. It can be money, it can be finances, it can be anything you can think of, entertainment, sports. I just use that for an example. That is an idol that takes the presence of Almighty God. Those things in and themselves are not bad. You know, the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. Not the money, the love of it, the inordinate desire and overwhelming want for it. Verse 9 in 1 Timothy chapter 6 tells us they that will be rich, would be, they that will be rich. It talks about folks who never get rich, but they spend their entire life wanting to be rich. It becomes idolatry to them. It becomes a little god. But our God is in the heavens. He has done whatsoever he hath pleased. There is no restrictions to the God that we serve. Nothing is out of control. All power is subject unto the God of heaven that we serve. He goes on and he says, their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. It says, they have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not, neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them. I declare unto you today, just as it was with Eve and Adam in the garden, ye shall be gods, knowing good and evil. You can form that God into what you want it. You know that these idols that we have in life, these gods, we empower them. They have no power. We empower them. And oftentimes when we give power to those gods to satisfy us in life, to make us happy, when they don't satisfy them, we cast them off and get another one. How much power does that kind of God have in your life? When the storms of life roll in Psalms chapter 1 tells you they're coming. If you ain't having a storm right now, you be prepared you're having one. They never stop coming in this life, just like thunderstorms and tornadoes and hurricanes, they never stop coming. How much deliverance are you going to have, and how much peace and consolation are you going to have when one of these idols you set up, one of these little gods, cannot deliver you from the troubles? You know, I went through some very difficult things in my life, and I know each one of you have. And I tell you what amazes me when I think back on those, many of them years ago. When you go through those things, how little importance the rest of this noise has in your life. We get so caught up in it. We concentrate on it so much. It becomes so important to us. We're able to mold that, to manipulate that God into what we want. If we have a team we love out there, we want that team to win, so we'll be happy and we'll feel peace and we'll feel good about ourselves. But over the course of time, you're going to be disappointed more times than you're going to be happy. And when the rough times of life come, that's not going to help you at all, because we give the power to that God. We created it. Just as a graven image or a statue has no power to help you out in times of trouble, the God that you and I serve is in the heavens. He has done whatsoever he hath pleased. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, that you may boldly Call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our God is real. He is living. He is sovereign. In contrast to you and I, He is totally different. And I'm not going to get into that. I want Brother Gale to come forward this morning. But I tell you, when you begin to look at the attributes of God, you'll find out that He is totally different from us. He's self-existent. He's eternal. He's immutable, unchangeable. That's one of the greatest things about God that you'll ever read about and study about, is the immutability of our God. Because if God changed like you and I, He'd be nothing more than you and I. That's exactly what men have always wanted when they were beguiled by that old serpent. And you shall know God, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. You set them up, you make them, you do what you want to. He goes on, they that make them are like unto them, so is everyone that trusteth in them. Think about that for a moment. We put a lot of trust in gods of this world that are idols, that we cannot serve, that will not help us. You know, in the Ten Commandments, what's the first commandment? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. You know, when I mention these things that carry us away in life, I'm not here to tell you can't do those things. But I tell you, it's like money. When the money gets a hold of you, you're in trouble. If God blesses you to have it, it's the love of it. It's not having it. It's when it becomes everything to you. It's when you get up in the morning and it's all you can think about. It's when some form of entertainment or some sports or whatever it is, it has become an idol in your life. How decimated are you when that idol you created that you've empowered fails? You know, I've seen people, and this is unfortunate, I've seen people love teams so much that when the team lost, you thought there'd been a death in the family. Really? Until God works a work in our life and brings some things to pass as He did in mine and has in yours, you'll come to understand that those things are meaningless. The only important thing in this life is the God of heaven, your family, and the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. That's the only thing. These other things are there to help us along in life, for us to have pleasure in, but don't let them consume you. Don't let them obsess you. You know, an idol is something that, you know, we lay affections on strongly, sometimes excessively. And when we do that, it becomes everything about us. And it's easy to happen. It's happened throughout the course of history. But don't for one minute let yourself believe that because you don't have a graven image on your fireplace or out on your front porch or wherever it is that you'd place it, or some statue that you spent a half a day carving out, that you don't have an idol in your life. But our God is in the heavens. He has done whatsoever He hath pleased. And He continues to do that because He's eternal. He existed before you and I were created. He exists now, and He will exist forever. And thanks be to God for His unchangeableness, because if God changed, we wouldn't have any hope. We have the hope of eternal life because God is eternal and God does not change. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, Titus 1 and 2. May God bless us to take the view of God that we need. I believe God's children in this country have lost sight of God. We don't stand in awe of this great God who is, in contrast to you and I, totally different. He exists within Himself. You and I can only exist because we depend upon God for everything that we have, everything that we need, the air that we breathe, the water that we drink, the food that we eat. But God exists in Himself. He doesn't need those things outside of Himself to exist. He's been in existence before He created, before He set time in motion, and when He brings time to an end, He will continue to exist. He is a God that is really there. He is a God, our Father, which can deliver us, and He can comfort us, and He can help us in our greatest times of trouble. We need to look unto Him, and we need to get the right view of our God. May God bless us to have that and continue to look at Him in that manner.